pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All the council members are here this evening. Next item on our agenda is citizen input. Citizen input is there for those of you who are here to talk about something that isn't on the agenda, that however is business of the council. Thank you. Item number one, approval of our agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve our agenda. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number two, approval of our consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve our consent agenda. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Opposed. Motion carries. Item number three, Columbia Basin Development League presentation. Jay?
Good evening. Sean McGrath with the Columbia Basin Development League is here to give council a presentation on what is the purpose of the Development League and to ask council for a possible contribution. Annually, the city has paid a membership for the Development League, and on the back of your agenda memo, I've included the payment history to the Development League since, I believe, 04. And I'll let Sean go ahead and give his presentation.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Thanks for letting me come in today. Appreciate it. Appreciate spending a little bit of time. And I do understand that since the Seahawks aren't playing, I have ample time. Yes? Maybe not. Okay.
If they were, you might have.
My name is Sean McGrath, the Executive Director for the Columbia Basin Development League, and it's a real pleasure to be here. I do have somewhat of a political background, of having been involved in politics since the late, 1999, actually. I served in several different capacities. At one point, served as a state legislator down in Benton County, Tri-Cities, where I'm from, Kennewick. And just recently came on board with the Columbia Basin Development League. And as you all know, and I'm assuming that all of you are very aware of what it is we do, but I will give some broad brushstrokes as to what it is we're doing and some of the projects that we're currently working on. Most importantly, the Odessa Aquifer issue. And that's the map that I gave to you that you have and that I have here up for display. Just real quickly, obviously, the Columbia Basin Development League, we are an organization that's been around since the mid-60s, and our job is to help the Bureau of Reclamation complete the Columbia Basin Project. That's what we're here to do. So tonight, of course, I'm acting on behalf of that as the executive director, as an advocate, if you will, for completion of that project. The project, as you know, started back in the 30s. 1952 is when they first started delivering water into the Columbia Basin. And a number of projects, of course, half the project itself was completed from the 50s on through down to the mid-80s. And I think Mattawa was the last of the first half of the construction projects. That project, the Mattawa project, was done in about 1984. Then in the early 80s and the 90s, we sort of went through a dormancy period, if you will. There wasn't a whole lot happening within the project, in part because of the issue with salmon, in part there was just a lot more awareness of what's going on with Columbia Bay, with the Columbia River. And so the Bureau of Reclamation actually imposed its own moratorium on development, so they stopped development for quite some time. That started to pick back up in the year 2004 in particular. when Governor Locke at that point was interested in accessing some of the water rights that we had and wanted to initiate some other projects. He came to the Bureau, asked them to do a study, basically, of some projects enabling the state to get more water. And we entered into an MOU 2004-2006 when Christine Governor Gregoire came into office. She said she liked the direction we were heading and continued on with some of the funding appropriations that we had asked for. Some of those funding appropriations that we had asked for, one of them in particular, was this issue with the Odessa aquifer. This happens to be on the east part of the project. As you know, there's some 1,000+ wells that are drilled in here, and that aquifer is rapidly depleting. And so back in 2005, we started a study, the Bureau did, with CH2M Hill. And CH2M Hill began a 5-year study to address the concerns of water depletion. And this map basically shows you what we're looking at implementing, and that is drawing more water off of Banks Lake down the east canal system. And it's a 2-part project. The first part is, of course, water delivery, and the other part is water storage. And so this study will be complete in 2011, which is next year. We did get funding both from the state. The Bureau insists that we have a 50-50 cost share split on studies like this. We did receive monies from the state. And we did just get $3 million in both the House and Senate appropriation budgets for 2010. So we believe we'll get that money next year. And that will bring that study to conclusion. And then next year we'll start talking about what the cost is to actually implement. And we'll go back in front of Congress and work on that. So I sort of paint in broad brushstrokes here, but there are two other projects real quickly that I want to point out to you that you'll be seeing that are taking place. Number one is the pothole supplemental feed route. We did receive $5 million from stimulus dollars, and we've got construction bids have gone out last month. I believe they've chosen a project coordinator, and I believe they'll start breaking ground on that project. And that project is simply to bring water down through Crab Creek into potholes and to be able to replace potholes reservoir and keep that water supply strong. Potholes reservoir is the sole source of water in the southern part of our district. So that project will start, they'll probably start breaking ground on that in October. So that's one project. The second project that's taking place right now is the Bacon siphon tunnels. On I-90, we got $50 million in stimulus funds for that project, and that project is just basically taking the second siphon from Road U and then connecting it under I-90 to be able to deliver water again down to the southern part of our project district. So those two projects are taking place. We'll probably break ground and probably have a groundbreaking ceremony, and if we do, I will certainly let you guys know about it. Because it'll be a media opportunity for sure if we can get the governor to come out. And we believe that that'll happen in November. Nothing certain yet because we're still trying to coordinate dates with everybody. But that's a pretty big project, pretty substantial, and that will be taking place, like I said, at least in November. But you will see the construction happening on those two projects throughout this year. So quickly, I want to address this. We at the League have, historically, come to you and asked you to participate in our program. Obviously, you've participated as members since 2004. And from what I could tell, and based when I looked back through our records, we had come to you in 2005 and asked for some assistance, which you provided, predominantly for this assisting us with this study. And when we came back again in 2006, and you for the 2007, asking for the 2007 budget, which you gave. We didn't come back in 07, and we didn't come back in 08. And I think a part of that was a failure on our part my predecessor to understand that you do have to come back and ask. It's not an it's a one-time ask. It's not an ongoing ask. And so we've faithfully submitted invoices, but they hadn't been paid because no one came to ask you for those dollars. So That's the reason why I came today, is to ask you if you would be open to contributing at the level that you contributed before, which is the $6,000, and your $300 membership as well. Now that is broad brushstroke, very rapid. And I'd be delighted to answer any questions that you may have with respect to any of these pieces.
It looks like, looking back at the vouchers, there was $6,000 in 12-10 of 07. And then that was the first time since, let's see, 1-9 of 06, okay.
'06 and '07.
So the last 2 years, we've just paid the $300 dues.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Any other council would like to ask some questions? You work with is Guama, do you and Guama consult each other on these aquifer issues, or are you separate?
We're separate.
I know you're separate, but
yeah, we're separate.
Do you share information, or?
We do. Good question. Paul is a member of ours, of our league, and we do share information. He's busy doing a lot of other studies right now, you know, with respect to levels and sedimentary issues and things of that nature. So we don't work too closely with that, but we do. I stay in contact with them.
So what is that $6,000 used for?
All the money that we raised is used for educational purposes and lobbying purposes to help complete the project. And so those are our two primary mandates, my two primary mandates as executive director. Number one is to continue to educate people. You know, the project started so long ago, and water delivery began so long ago, and there was a dormancy period there where sometimes people forget what it is we do and the project itself. And of course, this is the economic engine of Eastern Washington. So sometimes, again, it falls by the wayside in terms of people's knowledge and things like that. So education is one thing that we do. The second thing that we do, of course, is lobby on behalf of the Bureau to make sure that we can get this the projects completed and get them funded.
This directly is connected to the city and municipal water systems as when the second half of this Columbia Basin project is developed. Most of these wells will stop being pumped and the groundwater levels should rise. We have been faced with 20 years, 25, 30 years of a lowering of our water tables as to all of the wells that are out in the East High area. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be a good investment to continue with the $6,000 voucher to the Columbia Basin Development. Lee?
Sure.
Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I was looking at this, you know, Ben's, we haven't invested in this the last couple of years. I think it would be wise that we go ahead and continue what we did. That's only equivalent of $2,000 a year, and I think that we can afford that in our next year's budget. At least we'll look at it. But I would move to approve the $300 for the annual membership and $6,000 for next year's budget.
Now, second.
It's been moved and seconded that we pay our $300 fee and a $6,000 voucher to the Columbia Basin Development League.
Clarification, Mayor. Does that motion include authorizing the mayor to sign the service contract with the $6,000, just for the record?
Yeah, that's for 2010, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
Discussion?
I'm going to vote no tonight on this one. They've done 2 years without us. I haven't got a letter or any literature, the direct benefit to me or the city. So he's talking about getting millions in stimulus money, so I'm not going to spend my tax dollars on this. I'm just not convinced.
Any further discussion?
Eamon, did we have this in our budget? It's just that they didn't come and ask.
In our budget, I'm sorry, when?
Did we have it in our budget this year and last year?
For 09? No, not the 6,000.
Not the 6,000. The 300?
The 300, yeah.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I will also add that I am available to the council members. Objection is understood, and one of my charges is to continue to educate and keep people aware of what it is we're doing, and that will be a big part of what I do. So I'm looking forward
to
it.
Well, then it's also part of our responsibility to to inquire too.
Absolutely.
As to what you're doing.
And that's also why I wanted to give you some of my contact information, which you also have, and say to you that I'm 24, well, within that reason, I'm always available, and I'd be delighted to answer any questions that come up. And feel free to access me at any time. Thank you very much.
I might comment on that one step further. Is that I know what they've been doing, and I know how an uphill battle it's been trying to get where they're at. And I'm sure they'll use that extra money to the right place, put it in the right spot, keep this thing going.
Next item on our agenda, grant agreement department with the Department of Commerce is regarding well 6.
Good evening again. The city, if you remember, received a grant in the amount of $312,000 for the rehabilitation of well number 6. As a part of this grant, we're required to enter into a grant agreement with the Department of Commerce. I've included the scope of work, the three pages behind there, for this grant agreement. And it kind of outlines who's responsible for what. We're still waiting for a design approval from Ecology on well number 6. They've had some staff reductions, and they are moving slow, but they are looking at it. We're in contact with them biweekly as of now, and we do plan on going out to bid, I believe, in November for this project. We'll have the specs put together for the project and going out to bid, but like I said, we are waiting on approval from Ecology. So we want to clean this up tonight and have the grant agreement signed and ready with the Department of Commerce for the $312,000 grant. You have any questions on this one?
So is this something they can do during the winter months?
Get this
done so we have it next year for the hot?
That's the plan. Correct.
Where'd the $312,000 come from? Is that
community development block grant?
No, the figure itself, is that, I mean, are we going to be shocked if we get this grant and the lowest bid comes in at $500,000 to fix
okay,
it?
The $312,000 grant basically stems from what we applied for from our engineers' estimates of the rehabilitation of this well. There will be approximately $25,000 to $30,000 that will come out of city funds over and above this to include engineering and construction. But the $312,000 was an engineer's estimate from Gray and Osborne for the design.
And that design was put together after the study results were turned in?
Excuse me?
That design was put together after the study results were turned in?
Yes, if you remember the plans that Kevin Lindsay had brought in, what it was blocking off the one section of the well and going forth with that. Ecology might have some issues with the design, but we don't think so. We'll be asking for probably a variance in design standards from Ecology.
We're supposed to know by mid-October DOE's opinion on the plan.
I would accept the motion to sign a grant agreement with the Department of Commerce for $312,000.
Move to approve the mayor sign a grant agreement with the Department of Commerce.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item number five, resolution to accept well project number four, the well number four.
As everybody remembers, we had well number four went down and we pulled the pump and we had some warranty issues that we talked about on this project. And when we did, we decided to go ahead and go with a newer pump that provided a 2-year warranty. Well, that project has since been completed and everything is in line as far as the contractor paying their prevailing wages. Labor and industry is all satisfied, and I just need to ask council to accept the well four project as complete. We did turn this in on another note. We did turn this into the city's insurance company, and just as of today, we received a check for $27,000 in insurance, and we're expecting approximately another $8,000 from the insurance company to cover 80% of this project.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That is really good.
Yes.
What's the warranty on this new pump that we put in?
2 years.
2 years.
See, the other one went out just short of 2 years, didn't it?
Correct. And we had a choice this last go around to either rebuild the current pump and bowls and go another year, or pay for the better design, newer pump, and get a 2-year warranty. And council chose the pump with a 2-year warranty this time.
Well, I'll make a motion that we accept well four repair project as complete.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the project as presented tonight as complete. Discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number six, ordinance to amend park hours.
Good evening. The question before the council tonight is, would you consider an ordinance amending Othello Municipal Code Chapter 11.24, closure of city parks? This has come to your attention relative to the testimony you heard at council meeting on September 14th. The discussion at that time involved residents that abutted Kiwanis Park. Several items were discussed relative to use of soccer in the park. Some spin-offs of that were, number one, parking. Is there options for parking in Kiwanis Park? And you'll see those next Monday night, October 5th. The second item that came out of that discussion was a concern of the residents that abut the park relative to people in the park after hours, during hours of darkness. Should they be there during dark times? This is the end of September at 7:24. If you look outside, it's dark now. The proposal, and again, I apologize for the agenda memo. I wrote this three times, and we kind of changed it three times. So number two, under explanation of issue, is a little misleading. If you go right to the ordinance page, if you'll follow along, the underlined section in 11.24.010, the underlined portion is relative to Kiwanis Park. Provided, however, that Kiwanis Park shall be closed between the hours of 9 p.m., and 6 a.m. the following day, Sunday through Thursday, and shall be closed between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. the following day on Friday and Saturday. So to clarify, Sunday night through Thursday night, we're proposing that Kiwanis Park be closed at 9 p.m. Friday and Saturday nights, Kiwanis Park be closed at 10 a.m. That's reducing the hours on Friday and Saturday night by 1 hour from 11 to 10 and 2 hours from 11 to 9 on weekday nights. So that's really what this ordinance is about. Certainly the times are are subject to your approval, but that's what's being recommended relative to hours of darkness. One consideration was to put in here, like some other cities have, dusk to dawn. And that kind of takes care of summer and winter hours. If we do that, the police chief, to enforce the ordinance, would have to go to some site and get the official time, dusk to dawn, every single day. So it would have been confusing and troublesome, basically, for the police department. So the chief recommended that we have a specific time in there. That's how come it's 9 and 10 p.m. at night. So your consideration is for the ordinance amending Othello Municipal Code 11.24, closure of city parks.
The Kiwanis Park has no lighting. It is dark.
Right.
So when it is dark, it is dark. I think to, you know, with respect to the passive verbiage in the beginning when that park was first developed, I think that this would be a good idea. I think after 10 o'clock at night, I don't know what kind of passive use what the park would be lending itself to. That's just my two cents worth. I mean, if they're playing sports and there's lights, and I can understand our competitive softball parks and
right.
and that type of thing. But this is a dark. Normally people go home unless they are lit up and playing ball or tournaments. This was one of the issues that some of the residents that have been to our meetings the last couple of weeks alluded to, that and parking, and we're going to address them both. We're addressing the hour change tonight.
And those are the reasons, Mayor, as you suggest, why we did not change Lions Park, because they're lit, there's nobody that abuts the property, and there are competitive sports there.
I'll move to adopt OMC Chapter 11.24.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt OMC Chapter 11.24 as presented as pertaining to Kiwanis Park. Discussion?
Say something here. I'm just toying with this thing a little bit, you know. We're still 3 hours past dark at 10 o'clock. Could we put something in there, say October 1st till March 1st, and cut those hours back another 2 hours or so?
That's your motion.
Well, it'd have to be an amendment to the motion, but I'm just toying with that idea here a little bit, whether it would be a good idea or not. You could back that down at least during the winter months.
Because during daylight, when daylight savings time goes off, I mean, it's dark at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So at 10 o'clock, that gives them six more hours in the dark for whatever.
Even backing that off 3 more hours wouldn't hurt anything. You know, after October 31st till March 1st. I'd like to make that an amendment.
I'm not quite agreeable with that, because I do know a couple of people that get out and actually jog that park 7:30, 8 o'clock. They will jog around that. They get out. That's their time in the evening to get out and do the exercise. They actually go out and jog that park.
I think we're making a change here, and to make it as clear as possible, I agree with the original motion. You're either going to have to change signs or have verbiage on signs of dates and times and all that. And I would rather just make this step for now, make it simple, and then we can analyze it later and see if we want to start getting dates on it. And
The walk path goes through there, don't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're just jogging through on the walk path, you're not really loitering in the park.
Right.
Just kind of passing through.
Yeah, but you're still subject to the fine if you're in a park after hours. I mean, at the discretion of the officer, of course, but whether you're, you're...
Why don't we take a vote on it as presented, and then let's see what the residents have to say after a summer, a year of this.
I'll withdraw my amendment.
Was there a second? Ken made a motion?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Unfinished business.
New business? I've got a proclamation to read here that's going to take longer than anything we've done here tonight. Debbie, did you write this? Okay. I'm going to read this proclamation, and then we'll do some more new business. Jumpstart Read for the Record Day, October 8, 2009. Whereas children are born ready to learn, and whereas the concept of immigrant literacy suggests that the development of literacy takes place within the child beginning at birth and emerges over time through the child's interaction with oral and written language. And whereas each year, 1 in 3 children in the U.S. enters kindergarten lacking the basic skills he or she needs to be successful. And whereas for 16 years, the nonprofit organization Jumpstart for Young Children has offered a proven solution to this problem by pairing a caring and trained mentor with an at-risk preschool child one-to-one for a year to build critical language, literacy, social, and initiative skills. And whereas this simple yet powerful model prepares children to learn, encourages families to get involved with their child's learning, and inspires adults to become teachers and child advocates. And whereas in 2009 alone, Jumpstart will prepare nearly 15,000 children for kindergarten, making it the largest such organization in America. And whereas Jumpstart and its corporate partners, American Eagle Outfitters, Pearson's, Penguin, and Sodexo, together with official retail partner Walmart, have launched a public and private partnership to create the largest shared reading experience ever, and on October 8, 2009, break our own world record for the most children reading with an adult in the same day. And whereas the children's classic, A Very Hungry Caterpillar, will serve as the official campaign book, and a custom edition has been created to include proven Jumpstart reading techniques for adults to read with a young child. And whereas through Jumpstart's Read for the Record campaign, this public and private partnership will build awareness of America's school readiness crisis and provide tangible research-based tools and opportunities for participating in a solution to this crisis. And whereas the schools, the libraries, and community organizations across the U.S. will participate in activities to support Jumpstart Read for the Record, now I, therefore, Shannon McKay, Mayor of the City of Othello, do by proclaim October 8, 2009, Jumpstart's Read for the Record in Othello, and I call upon all residents to learn more at www.readfortherecord.org and participate in this year's education awareness program and read A Very Hungry Caterpillar to a child on October 8th.
Are there any
more new business?
I would, since it's fairly early, take a couple minutes to talk about the budget sheet Mike has passed out. And in it, on the graph of budget versus actual expenditure report, we show an overage of spending in our general fund. And part of that was explanation is that without the use of corrections personnel to do lawn maintenance is now performed by city personnel, giving the impression that it's costing us more without the prisoners, when we were told that the money allocated for the Department of Corrections to hire new people was just going to offset.
The dollar an hour that the criminals...
Yeah, we'll look into that and get you a full written explanation, Mark.
But the... what I'm hoping is that our public works people used to be allocated to parks, which is in the general fund, but then they were allocated to street and sewer and that. And now that they're spending more time in the parks, there's just an allocation to the general fund, which in theory would lead to less dollars in the street and the sewer and that, those allocations.
We'll write it up for you, though, a little clearer.
No, I'm testing him. He's got to come. The other one is the water utility fund is on the expenditures. It looks like we're way low, but we're like $700,000. But if we had spent that $1 million we're budgeted for the well, we would be at $1.7 million. And our budget for the year was only $1.6 million. So on the surface, it appears that we're overspent on our water utility fund. Do you agree with that one?
Well, no, I don't. I can analyze that and tell you what that would look like. We definitely did budget to do a $1 million well project. So it makes expenditures look way under.
Yeah, we'd be over the actual budget. So yeah, if you can just
I'll
look at that and see if I'm right. Maybe some of the money for this year was the difference or something, but that was just something else I noticed.
We'll write it up so it's more clear.
Yeah, it's when you're talking those kind of numbers and you want accurate answers, but you're not going to be able to think on your feet here. You're going to need to get the information for him. New business. Natural Gas Summit will be conducted Wednesday, October 28th at 10 a.m. here at City Hall. This is the third time that we have gotten together. We've put together a committee, and the committees have met several times, and I think it's going to be very beneficial. I think we've come a long ways, and we've got a long ways to go, but we're getting there. Audit entrance briefing is tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m. Council members that are going to be here, we need to kind of know, because if there's more than three, we'll have to have two meetings, which is fine. We just need to know if we need to prepare for that. Tim mentioned he was going to be here. Mark?
I can if nobody else is all in. I would step aside, but I...
Ken, are you going to be here tomorrow?
Ken,
are you going to be here tomorrow?
No, I'm working out of town.
Okay. Eleanor?
No.
Okay. 9:30 a.m.
Should be able to be. Does that make it bad?
Yeah.
No, I drop out.
No, you're okay. No, you're fine. That would be two, and the chances are one of you not going to be able to make it, so that way it'll leave one.
Okay.
So, Tim and Dan, plan to attend.
I might show up.
And Mark, possibly. The 2010 committee budget calendar has been sent to council. Is there any changes to committees that council members would like to do some shuffling or dates or both? Council okay with calendar as presented, or? You want to make some changes?
Sure, I would need some changes for the times.
Okay. Which time do you want, which meetings do you want to change the time of?
My time would be 5:30.
On your committees?
To get into town.
Okay. Five-thirty, okay? We can do that.
On which one?
October 13th and 14th, what days are those?
Committees, Eleanor is on.
Which fund, Eleanor?
Which one?
I forgot.
Both of them? Both of them, you want changed?
Street fund, park and rec, general government.
It's October 28th.
All the ones that you're on, 5:30.
Yeah.
Does anybody have a calendar? What's October 20th and October 14th, what days are those? Oh, you have a calendar? Thirteenth is a Tuesday, that's not a problem. Oh, yeah, I'm fine. Just wanted to make sure. 5:30, Eleanor?
5:30.
Mark, are you okay with the street fund October 20th at 5:30 instead of 5 p.m.?
What day is that?
October 20th.
Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
Ken Johnson and Ken Kaler, are you okay on the? See, that's going to conflict.
4:30.
I mean, the general government.
Oh. Street fund.
Eleanor's on that one, and that's on the same day.
I think I got this one.
That's a conflict.
How do we get on this?
Why don't we leave general government at 5:30? And if it's okay with the street committee, we can move that to 6. We'll be done with general government in half an hour.
You want to do them both there at one time?
Does that work?
That makes sense. 6 o'clock on the street fund, 5:30 on general government. And then Tim and Mark score on October 14th. Are you okay with the 5:30 instead of 4:30 on Parks and Rec? Okay.
Just have Marcy call me.
Yeah.
We're spoiled.
Right. Put me on your phone.
Okay.
The library is signed with Mid-Columbia Library, I understand, which kind of gets them down the road a little further. I haven't heard about the negotiations, but evidently we worked it out.
It's over a $200,000 increase per year.
That's true.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Is there any other times or committees that people would like to exchange? And we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
But what's your alternative?